So I want you to just take a second and imagine the most advanced, incredibly powerful AI brain in the entire world.
Right, like a total marvel of modern engineering.
Exactly. Just capable of processing information at literal light speed. But then I want you to imagine realizing that this incredible genius brain, it actually isn't the bottleneck holding back the future at all.
Yeah.
The real bottleneck is, well, it's the filing cabinet sitting right next to it.
It is the ultimate engineering irony, honestly. You build this massive multi-million dollar processing engine, but if you can't get the data out of the drawer and into that engine fast enough, well, that genius brain just sits there,
Just doing nothing.
completely idle, just waiting on the paperwork,
And
basically.
that filing cabinet problem, it is costing the tech industry billions of dollars right now. So welcome to this deep dive. Today we are unpacking a really fascinating May 2026 essay from the Memory Stack series.
Yeah, the one titled Beyond the Memory Wall.
Right? Beyond the memory wall. And our mission today is to unpack this wall because the fundamental reality we are dealing with right now is that high bandwidth memory, or HBM, it's become so critical and so incredibly scarce that it now makes up roughly half the cost of an AI GPU.
Which is wild because that completely upends the traditional economics of computing, you know?
Yeah, the processor used to be the star of the show.
Exactly, the processor was the prized asset, but now the memory that dictates the data flow, it is literally holding the entire industry hostage. And because that wall has become so just punitively expensive, companies are engineering some incredibly drastic workarounds.
And that's our blueprint for today. We're going to explore five distinct, honestly kind of desperate ways the hardware market is trying to route around this multi-billion dollar wall in 2026.
We'll look at how this is reshaping the whole global market.
And the brutal truth about when this massive memory supercycle will actually turn. So looking at the source, it lays out two very different philosophies for dealing with this constraint.
Yeah, the pragmatic versus the maximalist.
Right. You either figure out a clever way to work within the confines of the wall, or you attempt to just blast the wall to pieces. Let's start with the pragmatic approach.
Okay, so NVIDIA.
Yeah, NVIDIA.
Or.
Being the incumbent selling the systems, they obviously don't want to get rid of HBM, but they introduced a hardware architecture in early 2026 called Context Memory Extension, or CMX, just to stop wasting the HBM they have.
So the core issue NVIDIA is tackling here is the KV cache.
Right.
When you have a large language model generating a massive response, say you ask it to summarize a 100-page financial report, it generates those tokens step by step.
Word by word, basically.
Right. And to avoid recalculating that entire 100-page context for every single new word it spits out, it caches the context of what it just
And
analyzed.
on these massive million token context windows we have now, that cache just balloons, right? To dozens of
Oh,
gigabytes.
absolutely.
Historically, all of that dormant data just sits right there in the ultra-expensive HBM. And reading this, I kept thinking, it's the equivalent of renting ultra-premium Manhattan real estate just to store, like, old furniture that you might only need next week.
That's a great way to put it.
You want your active daily life in the Manhattan apartment, and you want to put the dormant stuff in a cheaper warehouse in New Jersey, which is basically NAND flash.
And NVIDIA's CMX architecture actually builds that New Jersey warehouse. So they use a BlueField 4 DPU, a data processing unit, to actively manage that data flow.
So the DPU is like the building manager.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of the GPU wasting its own valuable computing cycles just shuffling memory around, the DPU acts as an independent traffic cop. It keeps the hot, active data in the HBM, but it routes the cold, dormant KV cache down to a much cheaper tier of NVMe flash memory via PCIe Gen 5
So
lanes.
it handles all that input and output traffic totally seamlessly
Ugh.
without interrupting the main GPU cores. And the performance metrics on this and the source are wild. According to NVIDIA, this setup delivers 5 times better tokens per second.
5 times, it's huge.
And it vastly improves power efficiency. Oh, and there's also a finding in the essay from VastNi Data. They found that if you fetch this long context from the NVMe flash tier, instead of forcing the GPU to recompute everything from scratch, the time to first token drops from 65 seconds down to just 3 seconds.
Wait, 65 down to 3?
Yeah, 65 to 3.
I mean, that fundamentally changes the user experience. By moving data through high-speed PCIe lanes straight to flash storage, NVIDIA makes each gigabyte of HBM carry a significantly heavier workload.
So they are working with a wall by extending its capacity artificially.
Exactly, but then you have the other side of the spectrum.
Right, Cerebras. If NVIDIA is optimizing the wall, Cerebras is the company that looked at the wall and just decided to nuke it from orbit.
The maximalist bet.
Yeah. their WSE3 chip. They just decided to delete off-chip memory entirely. They built a single piece of silicon, like literally the size of a dinner plate.
A whole wafer.
Right, containing 4 trillion transistors. And they etched 44 gigabytes of SRAM directly onto the wafer itself. So the brain and the filing cabinet are completely fused into one continuous city of silicon.
And because you don't have to push electrical signals off the chip through a substrate and into a separate memory stack, the speed is staggering. I mean, you are operating at the physical limits of the silicon. They achieve 21 petabytes per second of memory bandwidth.
21 petabytes? That's insane. The essay notes they were running the Llama 4 Maverick model at 2,500 tokens per second per user.
Wow.
Yeah, compare that to maybe 1,000 tokens a second on a standard NVIDIA DGX B200. On the surface, that sounds like a total victory, right?
It does, until you run into the uncompromising physics of memory density.
Oh, right.
See, Cerebras uses SRAM static random access memory, and SRAM is blazingly fast because it typically uses 6 transistors to store a single bit of data. It doesn't need to be constantly refreshed with power, which means the processor can access it instantly.
But wait, let me push back on that for a second. Because it takes 6 transistors for just one bit, doesn't it take up a massive amount of physical real estate on the die?
Yes.
Because DRAM, like the standard memory we use, that only requires 1 transistor and 1 tiny capacitor per bit.
And that structural difference is the fatal flaw for the maximalist approach. DRAM is just orders of magnitude denser. To run a modern 70 billion parameter model, you need about 140 gigabytes of memory capacity just to hold the model weights.
So wait, if you need 140 gigabytes and that giant dinner plate size Cerebras wafer only holds 44 gigabytes of SRAM.
You see the problem.
They didn't blow up the wall at all. They just traded a bandwidth bottleneck for a massive capacity bottleneck.
Exactly. You would have to lash 4 of these giant multi-million-dollar wafer systems together just to run a mid-size model. You can't just engineer the memory wall out of existence with sheer silicon size. Mm. And that's before you even factor in the software side. The source calls it the moat problem, trying to convince developers to port their code away from NVIDIA's entrenched CDU software ecosystem to run on this bespoke wafer architecture.
Okay, so if a single wafer can't physically hold enough memory because of the capacity wall, the logical engineering pivot is what? Modularity.
Yeah, networking.
Right. If you can't fit enough memory inside one server, the next step is asking if a server can just borrow memory from the server next to it. Which brings us to our second section, CXL, or Compute Express Link.
Yeah, CXL 4.0. It's a protocol that Microsoft Azure actually started rolling out heavily in late 2025. The concept is to decouple memory from the individual processor.
Okay, how does that work?
Well, instead of having memory trapped inside a specific server where it might just sit idle, you create a massive shared pool of DRAM over a PCIe network fabric. So any CTU or GPU in the rack can just draw from this central pool whenever it experiences a spike in demand.
I mean, that sounds perfect for expanding capacity dynamically.
Right.
But knowing how incredibly sensitive AI is to data travel time, doesn't the physical distance between those servers introduce a massive latency tax?
Oh, it's totally unavoidable. I mean, even moving data at the speed of light over fiber or copper takes time. When a processor asks its local physically attached DRAM for data, it gets an answer in about 80 nanoseconds.
Okay, 80 nanoseconds.
But if it has to go out over the CXL network, which, by the way, relies on maintaining cache coherency across the network so no two processors accidentally overwrite the same data, that overhead pushes the response time to 140 or even 200 nanoseconds.
Wow. And I know in human terms that's literally nothing, but in the AI generation loop, that is an absolute eternity.
Right.
Which actually makes perfect sense of a detail in the source that I found so ironic. Google operates at a scale where they would arguably benefit the most from cooled hardware. Yet they published a paper literally titled, A Case Against CXL Memory Pooling.
Yeah, when the hyperscaler with the most to gain from an efficiency trick writes a whole paper tearing it down, you pay attention.
Absolutely.
Google's data proved that the 60 to 120 nanosecond penalty you incur by traversing those network switches, it just destroys the ultra-high-speed bandwidth required for LLM generation.
So it widens the base of the pyramid, right?
Yeah.
You can hold more cold data, but it does absolutely nothing to fix the peak bandwidth problem.
Exactly.
So sharing memory over a network is too slow because of the physical distance. What if we close the distance to zero by moving the math into the memory itself?
Now you're talking about team processing and memory. This is a really fundamental attack on the problem. Companies like Samsung with their HBM-PM and SK Hynix with AIM are pushing this.
Okay.
The underlying physics here dictate that moving data back and forth between the memory chip and the logic chip consumes orders of magnitude more energy than actually performing the mathematical calculation itself.
Wait, really? Moving the data costs more than doing the math?
Far more. It's not even close. So the PIM architecture embeds small arithmetic logic units directly inside the memory banks. For specific matrix multiplications, the data never has to travel across the interposer to the GPU.
Oh, wow.
The memory chip just does the math locally and sends the final answer back. The energy efficiency gains could be dozens of times better.
That sounds like the Holy Grail. But what's the reality check on AI? Does it fix our 2026 problem?
Sadly, no. The reality check is the timeline. The source makes it clear that as of early 2026, PIM is the longest dated solution. It's mostly relegated to prototypes, patents, and very niche workloads right now.
Because you'd have to rewrite all the software, right?
Exactly. It requires rewriting the entire software stack to tell the memory how to compute. It's a brilliant architectural shift for the 2030s, but it doesn't help a data center architect trying to hit a deployment deadline this year.
And that desperation to hit deadlines right now is driving what I think is the most surprising innovation in this entire cycle.
The NAND renaissance.
Yes. Because if you look at NVIDIA's tiering scheme or CXL's capacity pooling, a recurring theme is that they all inadvertently rely on massive, cheaper storage. Enter the unexpected hero. NAND flash.
It really is wild.
The essay explains SanDisk's pitch for something called HBF, or high bandwidth flash. But I gotta ask, stacking cheap NAND flash using the same advanced packaging techniques reserved for high-end DRAM. That seems completely counterintuitive.
Nearly does.
Because flash has terrible latency compared to DRAM. Why would anyone put slow NAND on an advanced packaging interposer right next to the GPU?
It comes down to understanding the difference between training an AI and running one.
Okay, break that down for us.
So inference, which is running the model for a user, is incredibly read-heavy. Mm. The system is just reading the static model weights over and over again to generate a response. Now, DRAM is expensive because it allows for lightning-fast infinite rewrites. But if those model weights are static, you don't need infinite rewrites.
Ah, I see. You are paying for a premium feature you aren't even using. It's like paying for a fully staffed 24/7 dry cleaning service when all you really need is a closet to hang your coats in.
That is exactly the right framing. SanDisk realized they could take cheap NAND flash, which has massive capacity but a pretty low endurance ceiling, maybe 100,000 write cycles, and stack it using advanced packaging.
Just for read-only stuff.
Right. And the result is a memory package offering 8 to 16 times the capacity of HBM at a comparable system cost.
And here's the hybrid twist that really got me. SK Hynix and SanDisk teamed up to build a hybrid interposer. They put ultra-fast HBM on one side to handle the constant rapid-fire writes of the KV cache, and they put this massive new HBF block on the exact same interposer just to hold the read-only static weights.
They aren't going around the wall. They are building a taller, more affordable section of it using flash.
Which completely flips the script on the entire hardware market. NAND was historically just the dusty basement where cold data went to wait. Now, it is being pulled directly into the hot loop of AI calculation.
And you can see the receipts for that shift in the market data.
Yeah, let's hit some specific numbers here because they are staggering. Looking at the source, top five NAND revenue jumped a massive 83.7% quarter over quarter in Q1 of 2026.
Wow.
Hitting $38.9 billion. A standard 30-terabyte enterprise SSD went from roughly $3,000 in early 2025 to over $9,300, sometimes even clearing $11,000 by early 2026.
Your SSD got expensive for the exact same reason HBM got expensive?
Exactly. AI is simultaneously buying up the absolute fastest memory and the absolute cheapest memory. It's a profound structural shift. But, you know, while Western hardware companies are engineering these incredibly complex hybrid architectures to dodge the top of the wall,
there's an entirely different strategy playing out globally.
Right, and I want to be super clear to you listening. We are strictly analyzing the factual market data reported in the source regarding global supply chains here. We are stripping away the geopolitical noise, not endorsing any stances, just looking at the numbers.
Purely the market data, yeah.
And looking at that data, China is simply building the wall from the bottom up under heavy restrictions.
Their strategy really relies on conquering the foundation of the memory stack first. So take YMTC, their domestic NAND champion. Operating under heavy export restrictions, they have successfully scaled a highly advanced 294-layer NAND process.
294 layers.
Yeah. And they now command roughly 11.8 to 13% of the global NAND market, primarily absorbing their own domestic demand.
The essay actually notes YMTC filed for IPO tutoring in May 2026, targeting a raise of over $30 billion.
Which is massive.
Yeah. They have clearly established themselves in that cheap, high-volume flash layer. But as we discussed, NAND is the slow stuff. The real bottleneck is the fast RAM.
Right, and that falls to CXMT, their premier DRAM manufacturer, and their growth numbers are staggering. In Q1 2026, CXMT recorded 719% year-over-year revenue growth.
719%.
Yep. They also had a massive IPO approved in May 2026, valued at around $4.4 billion.
Okay, so if CXMT is growing over 700% year-over-year, I have to ask the golden question here. Does this massive growth mean China is about to flood the global market with cheap HBM and solve this massive hardware shortage for everyone in 2026?
It's a great question, but the underlying supply data tells a different story. CXMT's HBM production is currently strictly in the sampling phase. They are sending early qualification units to domestic partners like Huawei, but they are not yielding mass volume yet.
So the capability is real, but the volume timeline is further out.
Precisely. The data points to true volume production for Chinese HBM being a 2027 to 2028 story. They are aggressively scaling, but they are absolutely not relieving the global 2026 shortage.
Good to know.
Anyone positioning for a sudden flood of cheap alternative HBM this year is just fundamentally misreading the supply chain timeline.
All right, let's synthesize the reality of 2026 then. If we look at everything we've covered, NVIDIA's KV cache tweaking helps but doesn't solve capacity. Cerebras hit a physical capacity limit. CXL network pools are too slow for generation. PIM is years away in software development. Yeah. And China's alternative supply is years away in true volume.
Right.
If literally none of these workarounds fix the core shortage today, what actually breaks this incredibly expensive memory supercycle? When does this bubble burst?
To answer that, we have to look at the true final boss of the memory wall. And surprisingly, it's not the memory chips themselves.
What is it?
It is the packaging.
Ah, the CoWoS line.
Yes, TSMC's chip on wafer on substrate. Let's say you magically manufacture a billion HBM chips tomorrow. They are completely useless to an AI data center until they are physically attached to the logic die.
Right.
You have to take the fragile GPU silicon, place it side by side with the HBM stacks on a silicon interposer, and connect them using microscopic electrical pathways called through-silicon vias.
The precision required for that 2.5D and 3D stacking is just mind-bending.
And that highly complex, deeply fragile manufacturing process is dominated by TSMC's CoWoS packaging line. It takes months per wafer, and the line is entirely sold out.
Yeah, the source notes TSMC is frantically ramping up production, moving from 75,000 to 80,000 wafers a month up to a target of over 120,000 by the end of 2026.
But that doesn't matter.
Because the AI data center demand is climbing even faster than the expanded capacity, right?
Exactly. And that brings us to the core prediction of the essay. New supply will not break the memory wall in 2026. The physical infrastructure simply cannot be built fast enough.
That implies the only mechanism that can actually break this cycle in the short term is a sudden drop in demand, specifically a hyperscaler CapEx pause.
Yep.
Like, if the giant tech companies suddenly realize they overbuilt and they just stop buying, the cycle snaps.
Short of that demand evaporating, analysts see hardware prices staying highly elevated straight through 2027. The genuine risk of a structural market glut, where you have massive new fabs coming online, expanded CoWoS packaging lines finally catching up, and volume production of Chinese HBM all hitting the global market simultaneously.
All at once.
Right. That is very clearly a 2028 event.
And the takeaway for anyone operating in this space is just brilliant. The edge in the hardware business doesn't belong to the engineers who figure out how to slowly climb the wall over 3 years.
No, it belongs to the strategists who saw the wall coming and priced it in first.
It is the harshest truth of semiconductor economics.
Mm-hmm.
Timing capital deployment is just as critical as the underlying physics.
Totally.
So just recapping our journey through the memory stack today for you listening. The fundamental constraint of artificial intelligence has officially moved. It is no longer about raw mathematical compute, the FLOPS.
Right.
It is almost entirely about data movement and memory capacity.
Right.
This shift has crowned brand new trillion-dollar companies.
Yeah.
It has resurrected NAND flash from the cold storage graveyard into the high-speed processing loop, and it has set the clock ticking for a massive potential market clash in 2028.
Watching the physical infrastructure of computing evolve in real time to dodge this wall is just fascinating. But, you know, there is a broader implication hidden in these workarounds, particularly regarding the software. We talked earlier about Cerebras struggling against NVIDIA's pseudo moat.
Right. CDA is the unified software ecosystem that basically glues the entire AI development world together. Every major model is optimized for it. Developers don't want to learn a new language just to run their models on a different chip.
Exactly. But look closely at what is happening to the physical hardware right now. In a desperate attempt to dodge the HBM shortage, the hardware architecture is aggressively fracturing.
Oh, I see where you're going with this.
We have NVIDIA tiering memory through DPUs. We have CXL protocols trying to maintain cache coherency across server racks. We have PIM architectures forcing math into the memory banks. And we have hybrid interposers mixing DRAM and flash.
The physical foundation of AI is splintering into completely different paradigms.
It really is. So the provocative question I'd leave you to ponder is this. As the physical architecture of AI memory continues to aggressively fracture in 10 different highly experimental directions just to survive this bottleneck, will the unified software ecosystem that currently holds the entire industry together eventually shatter along with it?
Wow. That is an incredible thought to end on. We started by imagining a genius brain bottlenecked by a slow filing cabinet. But now it seems like we are trying to build 10 completely different, radically engineered filing cabinets just to feed that brain, and the blueprints are getting incredibly chaotic.
The workarounds of 2026 are definitely going to dictate the architecture of the next decade.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the source material. We hope you walk away with a much clearer picture of the invisible walls shaping the future of computing. Until next time.